Hey, this is Mateo Lane.
I'm Emma Willman.
And this is Inside the Closet.
Inside the Closet. We are back with another episode of Inside the Closet.
I'm excited.
Here with Mateo Lane. I'm Emma Willman. We've got Tyler Mead with us as well. You want to say hi, Tyler?
Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Did you have a good gay pride?
I did.
Good.
How about you?
We have two guests today, so we're going to do two different interviews. So one of them is going to be Tyler, and that's coming up.
Yes, we're going to ask you the hard-hitting questions. We'll all think of it when it gets closer to the date.
Good one.
I was going to say, why'd you punch me in the face? But then I realized, I was like, I got to stop
we
joking
did that
about
bit
that.
Already.
No, I know we did that bit, and then also, I guess, I'll stop, you know.
Look, I always just talked about lies.
Absolutely, 100%.
I've done lies in so long.
You haven't done lies in a long time. Well, you doing her at live shows at all?
I did a gay show the other day.
Did they lose it?
Oh, it was so fun.
Good.
It was so fun.
I did a, this was like not a gay show, but I was doing a show and someone was saying something so fucking intensely like not worked out about gay people that I couldn't believe they were saying it and getting away with it. Yeah.
Sounds normal.
All right.
And it was kind of a celebrity too, so I was shocked.
All right, so who's our other guest
today? Okay, our other guest is Akeem Woods. We're calling up right now. Akeem Woods. Akeem is the funny little brother you always never wanted. His comedy style will have you on the edge of your seat. Also, I got to say, I'm very impressed how quickly you updated your keeping on top of your website. This is already on the website. We're going to say he was recently.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't have a website. I literally just
Okay.
Oh,
wait.
Nice. Here we go. Fresh and new.
So he was recently passed as a regular at the infamous Comedy Cellar in New York City, was a semifinalist on stand-up NBC, and has been on Kevin Hart's LOL Network. He's opened for and toured with the great such greats as Godfrey, Preacher
Love
Lawson,
Godfrey.
And Tiffany Haddish. That's so fucking funny because when I went to the website, I was like, I guess it was like literally a week ago that you or 2 weeks ago you had your audition. So I was like, shit, he's on his shit.
Yeah.
So you just made the website.
My audition, and then the next day I'm like, because Esty was like, give me your information, blah blah blah, on your website. I'm like, I haven't used my website in years, so I texted my friend and I'm like, hey, can you make me a website? And he was like, oh, okay.
And just whipped it up. And then did you send it over to her like, hey, here's my website that I've always used.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Here's a website that I've had for years.
Where are you right now?
He's at his hotel.
Yes, in Pittsburgh, which is...
Oh my God, Pittsburgh. Whoa. That's where one of my best friends lives.
I feel so sorry for him. This is such a boring city.
I had a good time when I went to Pittsburgh. I did a small little club, and I remember they have a great Italian restaurant in Pittsburgh called
really?
Bar Marco. And they make all their own pasta, all their own food, and the menu constantly changes based off what's local and organic in the town. And also, you don't tip because they pay their waitstaff so well.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
So, Akeem, if you have time, are you there with Godfrey?
We are there. Yeah.
I'll text Godfrey, but you too, if you want good Italian food and want to get wined and dined, you go to Bar Marco.
Okay, so yeah, text Godfrey because then maybe he'll drive. Oh, actually, or Artie because Artie's here too. He's the one with the car.
Oh, I can text. Oh, Artie's got the car.
That's a good fucking show. That the three of you guys like that is like putting on. That's a show.
Yeah, all the shows have been like extremely fun. And I've sold a lot of merch. Like, I've almost sold out of t-shirts, which I'm kind of bummed about because I should have bought more.
I don't even have... You have merch? I got to get merch. I have no merch. My merch is my Instagram.
I don't have merch either. My friend Justin, whenever I get to bring a feature, I bring my friend Justin, and he always has merch.
Really?
Yeah.
What would my merch... Akeem, what should my merch be?
I don't know. I haven't seen your whole act. But, I mean, do a lot of gay people come to your shows?
Yes.
Yes, a lot of gay men come to shows. I opened for Mateo a couple times, and I'll never fucking forget this. This is a heads up in case you ever open for him or do a show where you go on before him and they've come to see him. This is a very important heads up. I will never forget the feeling of when I went out, and it was all gay men looking like this intense look of wanting to see Mateo, but I've opened for people before where it's like they're there to see that person. This look was like they were looking like they wanted to see someone they were about to like want to like some of them. It was fucking sexual is all I'm gonna say. They were looking it was like they the look where it's like I want to fuck. I don't know. It was like I want to fuck through like hearing in my thoughts with jokes. They were definitely there for comedy, but I remember walking out and it was like people being like I want to fuck. I walked out and they're like. And then I was like, I'm just gonna...
Are you saying I blue-balled an audience?
I remember they were an absolutely awesome audience, but I was like, what is this energy? I was like, Mateo's gonna be out. And then they were so great, but I just remember this feeling of them wanting to see...
What's on your merch, Akeem?
My merch is adorable. I have three shirts. I have one of them that says Akeem Woods for Mayor.
That's cute.
That's cute.
I have this long joke about that I open my set with about racism, and I talk about I talk about being like I talk about like if I was the mayor, the one law I'd make to help prevent racism, and then I go into this long bit about it. And then so I have that shirt, and then I have a cute pink shirt that says like "Stop Hate, Make Love."
That's it's cute. Like,
or whatever.
I like that.
Yeah. And then I have
and they can get this on your web. Like, where can people get this?
Akeemwoods.com.
Oh, yeah. Akeemwoods.com. Actually, if you're on my website, you can click on it and then click on merchandise and then you can see the three different shirts.
I can't believe you got merch up on your website so fast.
I know. I'm all about making money.
You're doing a good job.
You should get like cute shirts or something. Like, I feel like if your audience is mostly gay dudes, just get like a cute like crop top. And like put one of your like your clothes on it,
or like, I could draw pictures on it. Jokes. Like I could draw my like I could just have a mustache on a crop top.
That's a good idea. That's actually great.
Yeah. I mean, also, I forgot that you can draw. So yeah, just put one of your artworks on like a t-shirt. And the best thing about it is like if you do it all online, like you could just have a virtual shop and you don't even have to travel with the shirts. You can just
right.
I mean, you still travel with some of them, but you can still have all of them online and then. People can buy your stuff and they'll automatically ship them to them.
So where are you from, Akeem, originally?
Yes, let's get the origin. I want to hear the origin story.
Origin story. I was born in Brooklyn. I left when I was like 3 or 4. So I'm not one of those people who are like, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm like, no, I left Brooklyn when I was like 4 years old.
Right.
I grew up in Florida. I grew up in a really small town called Palm Bay, Florida.
Okay.
How small?
There was one gay club and it burned down. And then a few months later, they found out it was arson.
Damn. But they had a gay club. So it was like 20,000 people?
Probably something like that. It's definitely a smaller town and they're very terrible.
Okay. So not a place where you ever, were you always like, I got to get out of here?
Yeah. I started stand up in Orlando in 2010. So as soon as I graduated high school, I moved to Orlando and started.
What's the stand up scene like in Orlando?
It's honestly really, really good. Like there's a lot of the improv is out there. There's a lot of like B level comedy clubs. Like you can work a lot, and you can definitely build material because like there's a lot of mics, but the mics are like have people at them.
Right.
So like there's a lot of like good quality stage time you can get out there.
Yes. That was my experience in Boston too. I didn't know this whole New York thing where it's like I was like comedians just do comedy for other comedians?
Yeah. That's how I felt when I got to LA cuz the LA is like I remember I was talking to a comic in LA. He's like, "Oh, open mics suck." I'm like, "No. All of the mics here suck."
Right.
Well, that's cuz I grew up in Chicago, and when I started doing stand up in Chicago, it's almost the exact same as New York where it's
really?
Like yeah, it's a huge comedy scene right. And it's same thing. You just perform for comedians. We never had an audience. And so when I moved to New York, I was like used to people with arms crossed and looking at their notes and not giving a shit. You know, New York is obviously a little more intense. But and so do you call is Los Angeles home right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it home, but I live there, yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's the consensus we've had for some of our guests are about Los Angeles. Some people love it. Some people hate it. So are you planning on moving to New York or are you going to stay in Los Angeles?
I think I'm going to be bi-coastal for a bit until I figure out which direction I'm going to be going in. I fucking love New York. I'm a bitch when it comes to cold.
Like, I get I really that. Am.
And like, I grew up in Florida and then I went from Florida to LA, so I've never had to deal with winter.
Right.
And I don't know if I want to.
And that's like, a real fucking thing.
Honestly, yeah, coming from Chicago, winters are not that bad here in New York. I don't, people are like,
I hate the winter. Like, coming from Maine, and people are always like, you shouldn't mind the cold because you're from Maine. I'm like, no, that's not how things work. Just because you grow up around something you don't like doesn't mean you like grow to, I don't like it.
Right. Not like you're running around the snow in a tank top. It's exactly. Like, yeah, bitch, we're all fucking cold.
And I love the weather in Florida, and I like how flat it is. And I actually have a very strong affinity towards Florida. I love strip malls.
that's all we have to offer.
I love the Cheesecake Factory. I love strip malls. I like Florida. I love the palm trees. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, there. I like. I don't mind. Yeah, it's a fun place, I guess. But like, see, I don't mind like being in winter every now and then. But I don't know if I can live in it. Like, I tour a lot, so like I've been to Minneapolis in December. I've been to Chicago in December. Like, I've been to all these cold places during the winter. But I'm like there for like a week or 2 weeks,
sure.
And then I go back to the sunshine.
Right,
I don't
right.
know how I would feel about like being there every, and that seems daunting to me. And y'all gotta like shovel snow and stuff like that.
No.
Well, you don't. I mean, you don't will it away. You have to shovel it.
You shovel snow.
Are you joking?
In
when
New
I grew
York?
Up in Chicago,
but
no,
in
but
New
in New York,
York
you yeah. have a landlord that yeah. does it for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but in Chicago, yeah.
Of course. And, oh, in Maine, I was shoveling my little brains out. Except for with my ADHD,
but
I start
you,
shoveling
but
and I shovel in the wrong direction.
When you're a kid, see, now I have good memories of snow. Because when I was a kid, you get to the snow days, snow forts,
sure,
snowmen.
Sure.
Like, the when blizzards come, like hot cocoa, you know, like all that bullshit. But like, so, I mean, we haven't had snow like that in who knows how long. But every time it does snow, I'm always like, oh, childhood.
New York. I have this vivid memory of when I moved back to New York in January this year and trying to get my steps in. And I was the only person out in a blizzard just walking around getting my steps in, gritting my teeth. And I was like, fuck, I got 100 more steps to go and fuck this. When you were in when you were in high school, did you know that you wanted to do comedy? Or what were you like when you were in, were you like this silly kid?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to do comedy since like my junior year in high school. I wanted to do comedy. So as soon as I graduated.
Who inspired you? Who did you see that you were like, oh, that made me, I didn't realize I could do that.
Honestly, I didn't think I could do it. But right, one of my favorite comics was Cat Williams.
Like,
I love Cat Williams.
Yeah, I love Cat Williams all the time.
Man, I had poor little Tink Tink. Oh my God, that clip.
Yes.
I had a deal with myself where I was like, if this is before I ever even thought of doing comedy ever, I was like, if I am going to feel depressed or like have negative thoughts or anything, I was like, before anything, I need to watch poor little Tink Tink just as a deal with myself. And then if I'm still depressed, fine. But 100% of the time, I'd be in a better mood.
His
after it.
Bit about Michael Jackson.
Oh, don't you climb trees? That's so funny.
It is. He's like, no, Michael, we got jobs.
Yeah, we got jobs and shit.
We're not climbing trees,
bitch,
Michael.
It's the esteem of your motherfucking self.
And yeah, the audience was ready to turn on him, and they came around so quick. He is so funny.
I didn't know you liked Cat Williams so much.
I love Cat Williams.
I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
My, how could you not? I mean,
I
he's
no, I
so
agree.
Funny.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
So you watched him and were like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And I was like, because I didn't even think I could be that good. And I still don't think I could be that good. But I remember watching that. I'm like, well, I'm funny. And then my first time doing it was a fucking night. It was September 12th, 2010. And it was bad. It was at Austin's Coffee in Winter Park. And it was so bad. It couldn't have been any worse.
Were you bad?
100%. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. Because I didn't write any jokes. I'm like, I'm just naturally funny, which is what all fucking assholes say. And I was not naturally funny that on stage. It was like, yeah, it was fucking. Oddly enough, I'm like, I'm going to keep doing it.
Right.
Well, of course, because you're intrinsically a comic. But, you know, these are the lessons we learn, right? But I love when people try and, like, you know, when people come up to you after shows and they're like, you know, I've always wanted to give comedy a try. People think I'm funny. And all I say to them is, go ahead. Go ahead. Try it. I will give you no warnings. You walk into an open mic in New York City, put your name in front of 60 other comedians, and in a minute and a half, make them laugh. Go ahead.
I'm so much more cryptic than that. If someone's like, oh, I want to do comedy, I'm funny, I'll be like, being funny actually has nothing to do with it. And they're like, what? And then I walk away. And they're like, so I'm like, it is not. And then if they're like, wait, what do you mean? I'm like, it has nothing to do. I was like, there's different ways, there's different contexts, this is not even a part of it. Just get on TikTok. And they're like,
I have an interesting question.
Anything.
Since everyone here is gay, Were you guys both out when you started stand up? Because I wasn't.
I couldn't not be.
I was out too because I started it after college, but I was in the closet all through high school. So when you started, and I came out when I was in college. So I'm not out yet. And then Mateo's still working on coming out any day now.
Yeah.
Any day now. When did you come out? I'd love to hear about starting out.
I came out when I was 25, and wow. I started comedy when I was like 19, turning 20.
Really?
So I did comedy for 5 years before I came out.
And did you have jokes like my girlfriend, my?
No, I had jokes about. I had like one or two jokes about dating women, and people were popping on. It's like, really? Okay. Because I've never dated a woman. I've never had sex with a woman. I'm like completely. I knew I was gay since like fifth grade.
You're so like a gold star gay.
Yeah. I kissed three. I have a joke about it. I kissed three women, and it's because I kept losing. I spin the bottle. Like that's the only time I've kissed a woman. But yeah, I had jokes about. I didn't talk about dating that much. I talked more about like my family, and I've had all the jobs I sad, and I had a few jokes about dating. But it just I didn't come out until I was.
Were you
25.
In the closet in high school?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were like in. So, but you knew, so you were like lying to you're not. You know, there needs to be a reframe on that because it's not lying.
Right.
It's like protecting yourself.
It's protecting yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is also lying, but I'm fine with that.
Right.
I didn't come out. I came out to a few people after. Like, I came out to a few people when I was like 20, 21, like just like some. Friends, like maybe like two or three friends from high school, but I didn't like actually come out to like everyone until I was like 25.
And now you're on stage and you're out, and how does that feel?
Oh, it's like night and day. Like it's so it's so much. Yeah. I've gotten because now I can talk about anything. Like
right.
Before, I was always so scared to talk about certain subjects and like be open about like my personal. Like it was just night and day because it was like. Because I think our audience members can tell people who aren't genuine with themselves. So like when I was on stage talking about dating women and talking about like all this stuff that the audience was like, yeah, it doesn't seem right. Even if they didn't know I was gay, which I'm
right.
sure all of them knew, but like they know like that something about that joke doesn't seem right.
I feel that. I think that's totally true. You just sense something's. You're like something's off.
Yeah.
Something's
but for the longest time, I didn't want to come out like. Because I was like, well, if I come out, everyone's going to be like, oh, well, he's just a gay comic.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, well, they're going to say that anyway. Like, because they say this, because now they're just like, oh, he's a gay black comic. Like, motherfucker, the industry is awful. Like, they're going to say that regardless. So
right.
You might as well just fucking use it to your advantage, I guess.
How did you cope when you were like not talking, when you were not like being your authentic self? How would you like cope with that? Because like, that's got to like wear you down.
I don't know. I might have. I don't know. I mean, I still hooked up with dudes. It was just like all like down low type shit. I don't know. I guess I was. I don't know how I had to cope through it, to be honest. I don't know. I just
like muscled through.
I guess so. I know it feels like a lifetime ago, even though it was only like 5 years ago. Well, it's almost 6 years.
But we all know
now,
5 years in the world of comedy is a long 5 years.
Oh, that's
there's
a
so
lifetime.
Much that happens. Yeah, that's a lifetime.
Yeah.
Also, those ages that you are, that's like to me, the age of going from high school to college was like such a fucking, it's such a intense age in your brain. Formative.
The formative
years.
I think that, how old are you now, Akeem?
I'm 30. I turned 31 in November.
I sometimes feel like the change between 25 to 30 is bigger than 21 to 25.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that's accurate.
Man, fucking 26 was a tough. That's when I was like, this age train is not slowing down. I'm 35 now.
Mateo, what age did you come out?
7. I'm kidding. I was 18.
Okay.
But.
Okay, so Emma, what about you?
It was my freshman year of college, so whatever the age that is, like
18,
I would say. But that was like, but I kind of come out to myself in high school, I think, now. How's dating with all the traveling?
Oh, I just don't do it.
I get that.
I just hook up with a bunch of dudes in different states and then go back home.
You better work, Akeem.
Yeah, highly recommend it. I mean, eventually I'd like to settle down is what I tell myself, but I'm not actively looking. And people aren't actively looking for me either, so it's like a mutual.
No, don't say that. You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
Akeem, before we wrap this up, where else can people find you?
Instagram's at Akeem Woods. Facebook is Akeem Woods, AKEEMWOODS. I don't know when this airs, but my tour dates are all on my website, so I don't know what dates to tell you because I have no idea.
This will air either between probably the end of July.
Okay, the end of July, the 24th, I will be in Washington, Pullen, Washington, or something. It's like 4 hours away from Seattle, which is this fucking private gig.
Oh my God, I thought you were saying Pullen, Washington in reference to you having like hooking up with people after shows. You'd be like, I'll be Pullen in Washington. I was like, all right. Like,
I'm getting in Washington. Akeem Woods,
I was
everyone.
Like, all right. That's what you open with. Yeah, well, I'll be Pullen Tail in Washington. I'll be Pullen Tail. And I was like, all right.
Well, Akeem, thank you so much.
But the website is updated, and it's a new website, so give us some clicks.
Yeah, give us some clicks, people.
Yeah, yeah. You can buy my cute T-shirts. You can see my tour dates. You can like all my fancy posts. And I'll be in New York. I know Mateo's going to be off in Italy. But I'll be in New York on the 16th.
Hell yeah.
So, oh, work. I'm coming back the 19th, so I might see you.
Oh, awesome.
Work. All right. Well, thank you so much, Akeem. It was great having you on the show.
It was great. It was great talking to you guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. You guys are awesome.
Of course. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
He's so nice.
He's so nice. Yeah. I met him the other day when I was opening up for... No, what the fuck was I doing? I was at the City Winery show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, on the Thursday, and then I met him backstage afterwards.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we come back. The interview we've all been waiting for with the infamous Tyler Mead. And we're back.
Hi, Tyler.
Tyler, talk to us.
How's it going?
We want to check in with you. If you listen to our Patreon, we talk to Tyler once a week, but and obviously every episode of Inside the Closet, when we're like, Tyler, is this true? But how you been?
I've been pretty good. Just very, very busy for all of Pride Month. My company put me in charge of the Pride campaign.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's also a lot of work, and I don't know how to run a campaign. So
yeah, what does that mean?
They were like, you have an idea, so make it happen. And I was like, well, I don't know how.
Did you tell them you didn't know how to make it happen?
No, I...
Right.
I'm very much in the school of like, I'm pretty sure I can do whatever needs to get done, so I'll just do it. And then if it's wrong...
They're homophobic.
Yeah, actually, kind of.
Right. Well, you know.
If they're wrong, if you're wrong, they're homophobic. Yes. That's the defense here.
I should have tried that while I was at the fucking dentist, while they were like changing the price of me. I'd be like,
it's Pride Month.
Homophobia!
Yeah.
And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, ding, 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 ding.
And your stitches rip and blood flies everywhere.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't think you would have done that to a straight person. And I'm like, oh, Jesus God. Tyler, the way that Tyler approached Mateo and I, he tweeted at us when we first started, and then I remember talking on the phone and you sent me your resume right away. Very professional.
I remember that phone call.
I remember.
So I don't know if you remember this part.
Nope.
But we were talking about people who could potentially be advertisers.
Okay.
And one of the ones I brought up was Pure for Men, because they had just done like a bunch of campaigns with kind of like queer performers.
I don't even know what Pure for Men is.
It's basically laxatives.
Oh.
But the idea is it cleans out your butthole.
Great.
Or like it solidifies your waist.
Yeah.
So that it's a cleaner.
Sure.
And I mentioned this to you. And then there was like a pause and you just went, you know, Tyler, I looked this up and I'm just seeing a lot of anal porn. I was like, what? And you were like, I typed in pure anal sex and the thing you mentioned didn't come up. And I was like, well, yeah. We looked up two different things.
I didn't even, and you're like, probably also your fucking feed is, whew, I could type in anything and it would pop up.
Emma 101.
Yeah, I mean, I could type in, like, porn is constant. I'm going to type in apples. Apples. Let's see what we got. Yeah, porn. No, I'm just kidding. But apples and oranges is a store close to us right now. But yeah, Pornhub is like right. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay, so this is what frequently visited sites. Botox special, benefits payment, dad and daughter, some kind of porn, Zillow, Petal House, daddy daughter, refill through Walgreens.
Why daddy daughter? I thought it was daddy son.
No, I usually watch daddy daughter, but I'll watch sometimes daddy son too. Mm-hmm. Comedy Cellar lineup, my chiropractor, Groupon, and then let's see, this is definitely porn. I don't want to put, but sometimes I go treating daughter like a slut she is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so fucking repetitive. But it's like I go through phases with my porn searches too, you know? That's basically what it is. How has been working with the podcast, like what you thought it would be like?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah? I had like a vague sense. Like I've heard other people talk about the same job. Like, I don't know if you guys know Andrea Allen, but
yeah.
Yeah, she used to work for Keith and the Girl and now she has her own podcast. And I remember like the first time I ever met her, I mentioned that I worked for you guys and she was just like, she's like, did you cold call them out of nowhere and then just like beg them to do whatever they needed done? And I was like, yeah, how did you know that? And she's like, because that's exactly what I did, and it's what everyone else does.
I feel like we treat everyone here well, no?
Oh, terribly.
Yeah.
But not to punch me in the face.
The bruises.
That's on Emma's face today.
That's how you get, I really sincerely believe in that, like the power of doing that. Like just go, and I think it's like when, especially was like trying to figure out like, how do I close the bridge between what I want and what I get, what I want and what I have and like, how do I get there? But there's something that happens as you get older where it's like, that seems like more insurmountable. It's a young person's thing.
I did that when I was looking for to be an artist, a storyboard artist. I asked everybody. Right. I sent anyone, everybody, anything, all my work, and it worked.
Right.
But it's a young person's, or entrepreneur, I guess you could say. Like, let's say this fails, which it could any day now, and you know, I'll be back out there shipping off my portfolio to anybody who will look at it.
Yeah, I guess it's hustling. I mean, I've also, it's like when you're like younger, you're willing to do more for less.
Part
too.
Of it's because you haven't dealt with rejection yet, so everything seems like a possibility.
That's true. And then Tyler came from DC. We went to Tulane, but you moved. So, what point did you move to New York? Because, like,
I moved to New York in January of 2018.
So, it was like right after you graduated?
I was home. So, I moved home in May and was home through December. And yeah. And then I moved like right away. So I spent like 8 months in Maryland living at my parents and was eventually just like, I really need to leave. Please let me. Please.
Let me out. When did you come out of the closet to your parents?
Basically right when I moved here. Because I waited till I wasn't living.
I remember this.
Yeah. There was one day where I like offhandedly mentioned it to you guys and you were both like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, yeah, like most people are out already.
That is, I didn't really, I actually kind of forgot about, I mean, I don't drink now and I did drink then, so I'll just phrase it like that. I don't remember that. So
I think I do remember that.
It was, I mentioned it so quietly that you might not have even heard.
Huh?
How have you seen Emma and I evolve over the years on this podcast from where we started to where we are now? I've never asked this question. I'm curious to know.
I feel like you guys are definitely a lot more relaxed doing the podcast now because I feel like when you started, and I think this happens with everyone, where
everyone.
It's just like, what are we doing?
Right.
And now it's, you guys have like a very clear rhythm and like this feels like more part of your routine than something you were like carving out and like, force isn't the right word, but like, this...
Well, it felt like we were putting on a show, where now it feels like
very natural.
Natural, right, right.
Yeah.
Hey, you think about that. In the beginning, I remember we were very, like young comics, like putting on the show. Like, I'll say everything about me. We're like, okay, people know who we are. We don't have to prove anything, really. We can just enjoy each other.
Right, yes. I feel like I always got to prove something.
No, I mean...
Not here.
Look, there's a performer's element to it still, so no matter what, we all have the sort of need to want to perform and put on a good show.
Right.
But...
When you came out, so you were in the closet in college?
It's weird. I was, like, out to friends, and, like, I felt... Well, I also was of the mindset, I was like, oh, everyone can tell. Like, I don't have to do
anything. I was just going to ask Mateo that. See, I could see you passing it straight.
Well, that's the thing. A bunch of my friends have moved to New York since. And, like, now I literally go on stage and talk about sucking dick, like, all the time. And my friends are all just like, yeah, we didn't think you were gay. And I was like,
yeah.
What? And they were like, yeah, we just thought you were annoying.
Oh, fucking.
Pieces of shit.
But to me,
I also, by
pass.
The way, not a soul. Said to me that they thought I was straight.
Really?
When I came out to my dad, he was shocked. He told me I had no idea.
Really?
Yes. My dad is also a very nice person. Just so oblivious. Like
my mom said she said that to me, she was like, I was like, I'm surprised you're surprised. And I was like, I always was like, such like a tomboy. Not that that in any way means you're gay, but I was like, that would kind of line up with other stuff. And she was like, yeah, I just thought that's who you were. And I was like, it is. And she was like, right. Like, but she was surprised, which surprised me.
Yeah. My parents also don't know any gay people.
Really?
None.
East Coast Jewish people don't know any gay people.
So my neighbor growing up, who also went to Tulane and was my babysitter as a kid, was also gay. And
that's like, why you're gay.
Pretty much, yeah, because of the touching. no, he didn't molest me. Hi, Andy. But no, he came out when I was, I guess, in high school, because he came out like right after college.
Good for him.
And so that was my parents being like, we know a gay.
Right,
because
right.
Usually I've always found Jewish families, especially in New York or the East Coast,
sure,
very open and liberal and very welcoming.
Right.
Like, you, like, the best.
And my parents are kind of like yours. Like, my parents did not believe in organized religion. My mom was like, I'm Jewish, so you have to go to Hebrew school and have a bar mitzvah. And after that, we are never going to synagogue unless someone dies.
Damn!
Yeah.
Religion. So then
you get to find it on yourself a little bit if you decided you wanted to.
Yeah, but our parents were also, like, pretty, like, forthright, being like, well, religion is evil and none of it's
real. Yes, yes, yes.
Like, I came home from Hebrew school one day when I was, like, a little kid, like, maybe 5 or 6, and I was just confused because, obviously, like, TV and movies has, like, heaven everywhere, and Judaism is a little different. And I was like, hey, do we believe in heaven? And my mom was like, well, she was like, what I think happens is it's kind of like a light switch and it just goes off. And I was like, so there's no heaven? And she's like, yeah, I don't think there's anything. And then just kind of got up and walked away.
Not in a Catholic home. Yep. Oh, there's heaven. You can see your dead relatives.
Wow.
You can do this. And there you're in the clouds.
No wonder they're fucking stressed about it.
Well, also the concept of hell is, I think, very stressful.
Sure.
We're actually taught more about hell as kids than we are. If you don't do this, or if you do this, you'll be burning.
I've tried to make a joke about this work, but it's never worked, where I just think, like, Catholics and Jews are very similar. I just think it's funny that Catholics had to make up something to be scared of, because Jews just have, like, history.
That's funny. That's a good one.
And it's, like, the same level of anxiety.
But right.
One is grounded in fact.
Right. Right.
Because everyone wants to kill us.
Did you have girlfriends in college?
Oh, no.
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 Yeah. See, I could see you passing it straight, though. I can see it.
I did have, like, two girlfriends in college who, like, admitted by senior year, they were like, the first time we met, I thought you were trying to have sex with me. And I was like,
really?
Why? And they were like, you listened to what I was saying? And I was just like, oh.
That's so funny to say. I mean, that's so gay to say, I thought you were trying to have sex with me. Why? Why would you think that? Why would you think such a thing?
Well, because I'm very extroverted, but, like, I don't engage.
Sure, sure.
So, like, if someone talks to me, I'm just, like, I never shut up. But, like, I'm very, like, slow to approach.
Sure.
So, like, and it's the same in comedy world where, like, women are always the first people to talk to me because they're, like, you don't seem like you're going to murder me.
Sure.
Like.
That was the one thing going through comedy as a gay guy is I didn't realize the world of people sleeping with each other.
And, I know.
And like none of us.
Totally missed it. But I get it. I get why they're sleeping with each other.
Sure. Of course. I get it. But it's like, can you imagine? Like,
get it in.
All the distractions just put aside and you're like, well, I guess just focus on the jokes.
Right. Except for I definitely found distractions like outside of it in terms of dating too.
Well, but I was saying within.
Yes. Within I couldn't even mildly imagine. Although now there's so many more gay communities.
Of course. Now there, I mean, look, the landscape has changed dramatically since 10 years ago I got to New York versus now.
Tyler's roommate is hilarious.
I've seen him. I thought he's so funny.
He's so fucking funny. His jokes are so good. I saw him at Stand Up New York, and I've seen him a couple times there, but I just thought he was great.
Yeah, Justin's great.
How did you guys meet?
We don't actually remember. It was through comedy. Like,
yes.
I think we both followed each other on social media, and we're like at a mic, and we're like, oh, I know who you are.
Right.
And then I basically berated him into moving in with me because he was living with a couple and he was like, well, I hate my apartment and I don't like living in Bushwick and I don't like living with a couple. And I was like, so do you want to move to Hell's Kitchen? He was like, I don't know. I just would feel really guilty. And I was like,
For what?
He was also raised very religious. So everything.
That religion fucks everything up.
It really does.
That Christopher Hitchens has a great book, God is Not Great, Religion Poisons Everything. Read it.
That's the title of the book?
That's the title of the book. That's the kind of writer he is.
What was the worst? What's the worst date you've ever been on, the best date you've ever been on?
Oh, I don't know if I've ever had, like, a bad date.
Really?
I don't go on a lot.
Never a bad date?
Not like, I mean, I got hit in the face by a bird that one time, but the rest was good. Like,
that's a pretty bad date.
Well, the date didn't do it, the bird did.
Yeah, a bird flew directly into my face outside of Rye, so just like a bunch of drunk gays watched as I was like, what just happened? And like the guy I'm with just pointed and laughed.
That's a bad date.
It's like Elaine in Seinfeld when she's walking and the bird just flew into her head.
That's a bad date. If I was on a date and a bird hit a girl in the face, I'd run over and pretend like I was going to... You would have killed that bird. I would have tried to at least put on a show like I was trying to stop the bird. Even though I wouldn't have gotten there in time, I would have been like, hey, bird. Get the fuck out of here, bird.
My grandma's afraid of birds. She won't even eat chicken.
Really?
I mean, I don't like them, but I'll eat them.
She's horrible. She won't even eat chicken. She hates birds. And my Uncle Mike one time, like, put a turkey in their freezer. Like, we're always putting food in other people's houses when we don't have space. Italians have two kitchens in every house. So my Uncle Mike brought over there, and then it just mysteriously disappeared. And he's like, Gene, where did the bird go? I don't know.
She's like, it's freaking me out, man.
Yeah, like, didn't the bird go? Nope.
Never saw it. Don't know what happened to it. I couldn't imagine never having a bad date.
I don't go on a lot of dates. That's kind of the problem.
I guess I haven't gone on tons and tons of them either. But I've definitely had a couple bad ones.
I want the cord.
Mateo wants the cord. This is our fancy
before
fancy
we
cord.
Before we close out, I'm going to see.
You're going to play a bad date?
No,
Wouldn't that be fun if you had it recorded?
I want to see if my Aunt Cindy can tell the bird story. Hold on.
And I met Tyler's parents. I think they've come to my shows in D.C. twice.
Yes, and they bought me a gift once, and I still have it.
Yep. My parents have seen both of you twice, I think, at this point. Yeah.
So I had an interesting thing happen about D.C., like, in general. So while I'm in the middle of getting my mouth surgery, I get a message that this show that I had in the books for a year, they were like, oh, the club double booked the weekend. Next weekend is canceled. And I was like, that's absolutely insane. I had confirmed with them three times, like, this is nuts. And this is when I was like, we booked it a year out. And they're like, yeah, they're really disorganized, they double booked it. And I was like, that's crazy. And then they wrote me today and were like, and it's back on. I was like, okay, well, I did a post that the date was off, and because right when I found out it was off, anyone that messaged me about it, I was like, the date's off. And then I got a message this morning that it's back on, and I was like, well, I'm washing my hands of this, like, I'm just like, I'll do it, but
we have 5 minutes left. Right.
You gonna call Cindy?
Do you mind if I call her?
Go for it.
Okay.
Hello, Matt.
Hi. We have a question for you, Aunt Cindy. It's me, Emma, and Tyler, our intern. I don't know if you've met him before.
Oh, okay. No, I don't think so. But hi, Tyler, and howdy, Emma.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You guys,
I know it's been a long time.
Yeah, too long.
Too long.
You're in Vegas right now, right?
No, I'm back.
Oh, you're back in Chicago.
Vegas.
I came back last night.
Vegas is the last place I saw you, probably. Don't you think? After the show.
Oh yeah, maybe you're right.
I bet it was. Cellar? Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. You need to come up to Zany's, Emma.
I know. I had something in the books, and then I think they switched bookers or something like that. But I'm working on it.
Okay, good. Definitely let us know. Okay, Matt, sorry.
Before I ask you for the story, how was the new Mexican restaurant in Vegas?
Vegas has great food.
Well, everywhere my Aunt Cindy goes where there's other Mexicans, they are always speaking Spanish to her.
Yeah, we were looking for a table, so I held up, you know, two, and she just started speaking fluent Spanish to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I don't speak Spanish. She just looked. She's like, you don't? I said, no, I just look like I do. She goes, yeah, you do. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know I look like I'm. But I don't. I wish I did. I wish I did speak it.
I remember being a kid, because obviously my Aunt Cindy's Mexican, but like, I remember being a kid, and we were in Chicago once, and these people came up to me and started speaking Spanish.
And they were looking for directions or something.
She's like, I don't know.
I just look like I play one on TV.
All right, so we have a question real quick about grandma and birds.
Oh, okay.
Isn't she afraid of birds?
Yeah, she's definitely afraid of birds.
Where does that come from?
She said that when she was growing up, so her dad had grown up on a farm, and she said when they went over there for dinner once, like, they just said, oh, we're going to make some chicken and stuff. So they went out onto the farm, and she saw them, like, pick up a chicken and, you know, like, swing it around their heads, and then that's how they killed it ready for dinner and stuff. And then also, I think, one, she had a bird in the house one time, and it got in her hair, and she...
What do you mean it got in her hair? Like, it landed on her head?
Yeah, land on her head, and then it was like flapping its wings in her hair and stuff. So I think those two bird things are like
triggered.
And then wouldn't one time Uncle Mike like bring a turkey over or something to Grandma's house, and then it went away? What happened?
Yeah, we had bought a turkey for Thanksgiving or something, and we couldn't fit it in our fridge, so they had an extra one downstairs. So we said, can we put it in there? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, we put it in there. And then we went to get it, like, maybe a week before Thanksgiving, and it was gone. And my mom claims she has no idea, like, what happened to
it. What
the
hell did she do with it?
I think because it was a bird in her fridge.
She just disposed of it? I mean, a turkey, those are, like, usually, like, 30-pound birds.
Right.
And also, my grandpa's blind, so he didn't get rid of it.
Right. He's like, Jane, is it them? No, I don't know where it is. Jane, did you hear it? No, I don't know it.
She just, like put it in a wood chipper?
I know. She probably just threw it in the backyard like she did the diapers in Galena.
There. My girlfriend, I have a new girlfriend, and she is Mexican and Italian.
Oh, yep. We get along very well.
She's you, Aunt Cindy. Emma's dating you.
Yep, she's Mexican and Italian. And she speaks some Spanish. Not much.
Oh, lucky her. Yeah, and does she look more Italian or Hispanic?
I think she probably looks somewhere. She's like, well, no, Aunt Cindy, you look Mexican. But I think she looks more in between. She's somewhere in between. Maybe.
Yeah, she's a little ambiguous. She said people, what are the Kardashians? People think she's whatever.
Armenian.
They are. Armenian. She thinks that they're, people will think that she's Armenian.
Oh, but, that's nice.
Like
too.
My Aunt Lisa looks 100% Italian.
Yeah.
Also very dark, but 100% Italian. But Aunt Cindy looks Mexican.
Which I didn't realize there's not a big Mexican population in New York. I mean, that's what my girlfriend was saying. She was talking about like how the Mexican food in LA was so much better.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to this place in San Diego. Holy fucking Jesus fuck. It was so good. Season really? Started to use the Lord's name in vain. It was, they had homemade tortillas. They had someone making tortillas there. And then we had lobster, and I'd never had this before. You guys probably know what I'm going to say. They took the lobster and it was like fried lobster kind of, but it was like a traditional Mexican dish, but they like, it was like butter and then they like flash.
I don't like seafood.
It was so good. This best tortilla I've ever had in my life.
One time we went to a Mexican restaurant, and remember in, Brooklyn and City, and then there was like the guys like had the family on their wall, and there was a woman who looked so much like my Aunt Cindy that the owner came up and said, you look just like the photo of my aunt in Mexico. It was literally her.
Remember we were laughing. We kept pointing at the photo and laughing because I looked just like
exactly.
And it was like, how come you're laughing at that photo? Like, well, look
at me.
You look like me. He's like, oh, it does look like you.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm a reincarnation. No, yeah, you love the Mexican food then, Emma. Yeah.
I do love Mexican food.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, and it's made me much, I try to be like, it's been, although I will say this one thing, and I've tried writing about it. I think because of 2021 and because we are gay, you know, it's interracial and queer, people, at least in New York, are trying too hard to prove how woke they are. And it happens in LA too, though. And it definitely happened in San Diego, but like when we go into a restaurant, truly, like the person will be like, oh, this is great. Like just looking at us, like, wow, great, great. And it took me a while to catch on. Like, because I was like, the first time we went
to two girls together,
this is great.
Yeah.
This is great. And then I love comedians because we were at Gotham the other day and the comedian Rich Ivanovich looked at us and he went, wow, light and dark, great. And I was like, at least he fucking said it out loud. Like he was like, you're so light, you're so dark, cool. And I was like, I'd rather that than just walking in and people being like, oh, cool. This is a good job. And we're like, so do you guys have a seat available for you too? Yes. They're like kicking someone out. And we're like, wait, no, it's okay if you don't. And they're like, oh, no, don't yelp about us. And we're like, What?
No, no. Sit down. You want to?
Yeah, we should take advantage
lay on the
of
table?
It.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Yes, I mean it's like it's well, very strange.
And Cindy, thank you for answering our question about birds.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for thinking of me.
I'll see you in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait, Matt.
Me too.
Can't wait.
It'll be so fun.
Bye, Cindy.
Yeah.
Bye, Aunt Cindy. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Emma. See bye, ya. Matt. Bye, Tyler.
Bye. I love my Aunt Cindy. All right, we got to go. It's three.
What a great.
She's the best.
Great time. And Tyler, where can people find you online and follow Tyler's comedy career as well? He is out and about doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah. On all social media, I'm Mead by Mead. It's just my last name twice.
M-E-A-D?
Yep.
By M-E-A-D.
And yeah, you can probably find me at the park for stand-up New York stuff.
There you
all
go.
Right, so Tyler is at the park. That sounds so suspicious.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and please sure to like and subscribe.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
See you soon.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.